but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Jason Eck is the head football coach at the University of New Mexico. Prior to New Mexico, he was at Idaho. It's a name that keeps coming up when people talk about potential coaches at Oregon State and Colorado State and other places. Eck's name comes up. I mean, he's obviously 6-3 this season at New Mexico. He's winning there. He won at Idaho. 7 wins, 9 wins, and 10 wins in his 3 seasons there. He's got some proof of performance. I had a chance to sit down with Jason Eck earlier today in an interview that was taped, and I want you to hear a little bit from Eck. In particular, I want you to listen here as he talks about the way that he navigates building a roster, and also how he kind of handles the question of, are you staying at New Mexico or are you leaving? Has a very honest approach with his recruits and his players. And then beyond that, if you ever wondered if the Mountain West schools that are being left behind are upset at the Mountain West schools that are departing, Jason Eck puts that to bed and basically says, yeah, I mean, you know, you're telling us we're not good enough. Here's my conversation with Jason Eck, the University of New Mexico football coach. All right, where are you now? Are you in your office? What's going on?
In my office here, John. We got a little walk in here today, and then we got practice this afternoon.
All right, what time? Or give me this idea. We always hear about these coaches who sleep in their office. What time you guys get in? When does the day start?
We kind of have a little extra time because we're coming off of a bye week. Really this morning I got in about 8 a.m. So I'm not one of those guys who's getting up at 3 a.m. to work. We're ahead of schedule coming off of a bye, and, we're ready to go. I'll probably, stay tonight and after practice and make sure I get everything, all the film watched and done that. I'm a little bit more of a later night guy than an early morning guy.
Yeah, look, and your kids and your family probably got to get to know you again on a bye week. And correct me if I'm wrong. Do you have
five kids. The great thing is the two oldest go to New Mexico. My oldest son is a student equipment manager for us, so I see him every day. And then my second son is our starting Mike linebacker, so we get to see those guys every day. But, you kind of live in coaching, for the times you do get off. And, Thursday night usually is our night when we have all the work done. So we'll have a little family dinner this Thursday night.
Give us an idea, because you've done this successfully. You're doing a great job there. You're winning. The fan base is excited. The transition from going from, an FCS school at Idaho into the Mountain West, how did you effectively navigate that? Because I think a lot of schools are looking at that going, okay, if we hire a guy from the FCS division, do they bring players with them? How does that work in your world, or how did that go down?
Yeah, I think it did help. We brought 7 players with us from Idaho, and they're all playing a key role. I think probably 5 of them are starting, and then 2 of them are key reserves. One of them key special teams player. Also was able to get some guys from our conference. DeMond Bankston's having a tremendous year for us. I think he's like 4th in the country in all purpose yards. He's one of the only guys, I think, in the country who's had a 100-yard rushing game, 100-yard receiving game, and 100-yard kickoff return in the same year. Scott Trey Humphrey came from Montana State, who's a Seattle kid and doing a good job. We actually have our center, right guard, and right tackle and offense are all Pacific Northwest guys, all from the state of Seattle, Tacoma area. So definitely had some guys that we knew about on our radar from up there. And, really it's just been a blessing. We got more resources here. We can, give our players, more food. We're feeding them, really 3 meals a day when we're in season. We have more NIL dollars at our disposal than we had. So I do think, my time at FCS, taught me how to do more, with less, but now, we have more here. So I don't think it's been a very hard transition. I do think the best teams in the Big Sky are usually pretty competitive, with teams, especially the middle to bottom part of our league. When I was at Idaho, we were 2-0 against, Mountain West teams. I didn't feel like it was a huge jump or a huge change.
Yeah, look, and you've had success there. There's a lot of enthusiasm, as I mentioned. But, what's it like to see your name come up in, these are the top candidates that are out there and available. And how do you manage that with your roster? Do you address it in the locker room? Do you not address it? What's the protocol there?
Well, I addressed it with our team and, really in a positive area because it's, to me, it's a good thing when you're winning, people recognize that and people are talking about your coach. People are talking about your players, the first year I got to, Idaho, they were coming off of a 4-win season and they still had a few guys transfer, but they had maybe three or four players transfer. Well, fast forward to the year we won 10 games. I think there were 17 of those players who transferred up to FBS from the FCS level. So I do think it's a reflection of, how we're doing and that we're doing well and that we're exceeding expectations. So I think it's a positive. And what I remind that our players is it really is exactly the same for players and coaches right now, because the players have, agents reaching out to them and through social media and things. And you have to stay focused on the job at hand. And then, in FBS football, where you have that little break in December before the bowl games, we'll have a time to take a breath. The transfer portal doesn't open until January. So there'll be time to focus on that and to think, hey, what is the best move for our players? Is it to stay? Is it to look at the transfer portal? It's a good time for our assistant coaches. Hey, do I want to stay here? Should I look at other opportunities? And for myself to do that. But I think you can get ahead of yourself if you start worrying about that stuff in October and November. You're doing yourself a disservice. We want to try to play as well as we can. And really for players and coaches, the better you play, the more value you're creating for yourself.
Yeah, it's a good point about that change and that difference. I mean, you were at Wisconsin, played till 98. You were a GA in 99. Ron Dane eras. By the way, what was it like to block for the Great Dane?
It was awesome. Now most of my blocks I had for Ron were in practice because I was a backup. So he was usually – I would block for him in practice, but in the game I was usually blocking for his backups by the time I got in. But he was a great player, an amazing talent. We were teammates for 3 years, and then my first year as a graduate assistant, he won the Heisman Trophy. And I kind of got hooked on coaching right away. In my first year coaching, we won the Rose Bowl, and our star player won the Heisman Trophy. So I thought, hey, this coaching stuff's pretty easy. It wasn't always that easy, but I'm glad I stuck with it through all those years. And great memories in Madison. I learned a lot from Coach Alvarez. I think he's probably one of the two most influential head coaches I worked for in my career.
The success you had almost immediately at Idaho and the growth you had, you go from like 7 wins to 9 wins, to deep in the playoffs and now success at New Mexico. You've done this at a time when there's been tremendous transition in the sport itself. How have you been able to sort of navigate that?
Well, a couple ways. I think it was not always fun to go through when I was an assistant coach, but my 23 years I was a assistant coach. I worked for 11 or 12 head coaches. I forget exactly which one it was, but I saw a lot of different ways of doing things. And some of those were crazy circumstances that led to that. But I saw a lot of different ways. And I think I took something from every one of those coaches, even if it was just, hey, this is not a great way to do it. And I think it's led me, to really believe that you have to be very flexible in what you do and you have to be able to evolve. There's been a lot of change in the last 5 years in college football with NIL and the transfer portal taking off. And you can't wish for the way things used to be. You can't, and certainly, some people will tell you this stuff's ruining college football. It's not at all. I don't think college football has ever been more popular than it is now. It's just different. And a lot of industries have evolved. My grandfather used to work for Wisconsin Bell, the telephone company. Obviously, telephones have evolved a lot over the past 50 years. So I think we just try to stay ahead of it. I think one thing that we've really focused on in this era where you have so many new players, we have 75 new players who weren't on the team last year out of 100 or 109 on the roster. You really have to speed up and work on team building. You know, it's not the old days where you have 25 new players and, you know, 75 or 80 returners. You got to work every year on building that team and working those relationships. And I think that's been something that's helped our transitions go quickly, both at New Mexico and at Idaho.
I noticed that, you know, after a big win, UCLA win, you guys have a great win there. There's a video of you on the plane and you're rallying the fan base to show up this week against Colorado State. And you're doing more of that. Is that outside your comfort zone, or is that just a reality that you've got to do some of that stuff?
No, I think that's part of it. You know, I do think, you know, taking over programs that have not, had historic success or recent success, you got to win back the fans. You know, they're not used to going there, and largely they're not used to going it because it's not a very good experience. You know, no one wants to buy season tickets and see the team go 1-5 at home or anything. So, I do think I found a pretty good recipe of you got to win, but I think you also got to connect with your fan base because you got to change behavior. Just like we're trying to change behavior of our players when you're trying to turn around a program, you got to change behavior of your fan base. And I haven't turned down, I don't think, any speaking engagements or anything I could show up to for my first off season I was here, just because I knew we had to connect with this community, make sure that they knew we were a part of the community and that they can make a difference. And, we've already seen that. We sold out our New Mexico State game. That was the first sellout we'd had in University Stadium since 2007. So we've been able to, do some things that hadn't been done here in a long time. And it was the same thing at Idaho. At Idaho, we sold out two games in 2013, and they hadn't had sellouts since Boise State came up in like 2010. So I think connecting with the community, getting the fan base engaged and excited again about Lobo football has been as important as, winning the games on the field. But obviously winning games on the field is a big part of it too.
Yeah, Mountain West Conference is going to endure some change here. How do you think it impacts you guys? Because I sort of see you guys at the top of that conference now, and I think, you're going to have an opportunity to be a G5 champion if you guys are there as a staff.
Yeah, John, that was what really made this part of what made this job intriguing to me, and I felt comfortable that we were going to continue to win at Idaho. Obviously, at the FCS level, the top of FCS, you have that tough period right when your season's over and your rosters are getting poached and things. But, I thought we were going to be able to withstand that and continue to win there. So it was going to take something really, a really good opportunity to move away from that. And there was three things that I thought were really special about this place. One, I think we have great leadership. We have a new athletic director, Fernando Lovo, who's a football guy. People had talked to me about New Mexico has been more of a historic basketball school. But I know you can be good at both. A lot of programs are. And Fernando had been at football schools. He had been at Florida and Ohio State and Texas and Houston. So he really impressed me. I like being at a state in the group of five where you don't have a Power Four school or NFL teams in your state. I think that kind of differentiates ourselves. And I think Boise is an example of that, in the West that kind of has, the state's eyeballs. And then the third thing was, you look back the last 40, 50 years for New Mexico, and they've been in the conference, not just with the teams who are leaving this year, Boise State and Colorado State and San Diego State, Fresno, Utah State, but there's a lot of years where they were in conferences with Arizona and Arizona State back in the WAC, and they were in those leagues with TCU and Utah and BYU. And, really, if you looked at it, for 50 years, New Mexico has been at the bottom half of their conference resource-wise. I think starting next year, that's no longer the case. We're going to be clearly in the top half and, probably maybe more like top third or top quarter of the conference resource-wise, which I thought gave us a great opportunity to do better than we had in the past. And I knew, we couldn't wish away this first year before. I said, hey, we got to get to a bowl game this first year to build that momentum. But, I see us, starting in 26 going forward, that we're going to be a team expected and competing for the championship every year.
There's some bad feelings with some of the schools that watching, those schools leave, but you've only been there a season. Does it mean something extra to beat those teams on their way out, or is that, there's too much else going on?
I think it does. I get along with a lot of people. There's not, many people who aren't my cup of tea. I'm kind of a people person, but, I think I've always had a little bit of it irks me when people think they're better than you or try to big time you. And I've conveyed that to our team. Just I think obviously these schools thought that you know, for whatever reasons, these teams they left behind didn't create enough value or weren't good enough to be competitors of them. And, you know, I think that's, you know, motivational. You know, I think that, you know, obviously we've played two of those teams so far. We still have two coming up. We've split with Utah State. We've split with, we beat Utah State. We lost to Boise. Now we have Colorado State this week, and San Diego State's our last regular season game. I think that definitely adds to, you know, a little bit more to that game, you know, playing a team who's leaving, even though I'm new and so many of our players are new.
I'm not, you know, I don't want to sound like your agent here, but I think, you know, if you leave New Mexico, you leave for a no-brainer job. Like, you know, it's just, and I think that community, that fan base would understand it, but one season feels too soon. What do you say to people who go, Jason, are you sticking around? You know, I'm sure you're getting that in the grocery store or the gym or wherever you are in the community.
Yeah. People ask me that a lot. And I think, you know, this, especially this fan base, you know, is definitely, scarred because the last coach left after 1 year and, you know, left to a team that's going to the Pac-12. So I get the concern, you know, and again, my answer, we love it here. My family loves it here. You know, we've been very, you know, engaged in this community. My, you know, my kids are in public schools or loving the schools. I have a son who's a freshman in high school. So we are certainly not, you know, looking to leave. But I'm cautious to ever say something that I can't promise. You know, I do like, you know, buying those Mega Millions and Powerball tickets. And, you know, if I win, you know, $150 million, maybe I would coach my 10-year-old son's team next year or something and do that. So I'm cautious to ever say words that went out of my mouth. But it's going to take something very, very special to leave here. And again, we are not looking. And I think we can build something special here. I think sometimes coaches feel like they have a window of opportunity where I got to win and get out. I do not feel that way. I think we can be consistently good here at New Mexico, even though that history hasn't shown them do that. But I believe we can do that here.
I want you to look back a little bit at the Big Sky because you were there, and I think you can talk about it with clarity. Where does the Big Sky fit in college football?
You know, I think the Big Sky still has a niche. You know, it's tricky because I think you're going to have to love the names on the front of the jersey because I think it's going to be tricky every year to keep the your best players in that conference to stay with you. You know, I do credit, you know, the fan bases at Montana and Montana State who really you know, you look at kind of how, you know, the level of play, you know, the two Dakota schools and the two Montana schools, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Montana, Montana State, they play at such a high level. And they've just, you know, those four teams have been in the championship game so much lately in FCS football. They have great fan bases. You know, their attendance is would fit right in with a group of five. You know, those are unique places. And I know Montana, you know, they probably have better NIL opportunities than some of the other teams at their level. But, you know, I still think it has a place. You know, there's just not a lot of schools out west compared to other parts of the country. So I still think it has a place. I don't think there's a huge discrepancy in level of play. I think probably the top, you know, the top few teams in the Mountain West, I think, are better than, you know, anybody in the Big Sky. But the best Big Sky team certainly can beat middle of the pack Mountain West teams every year. And, you know, even in our first year this year, you know, we had a very competitive game. We ended up winning by 10 against Idaho State. Mm. You know, they're doing a nice job, Coach Hawkins, and that's one of the tougher places in that conference. So, you know, I root for the Big Sky. I think it's a great football conference. I think the commissioner, Wistersill, has really done a good job there, you know, just, you know, getting exposure for that conference, getting those Big Sky games on ESPN. I think they increased the number. You know, it was usually two games when I was in the league. Now I think they've got that game up to four. You know, so I root for the Big Sky. It's good football. It's just, you can't fall in love with the names in the back of the jersey because it's tough to retain those guys in the current climate.
Yeah. I think 2 years ago, you gave Oregon a real scare when you were at Idaho in that early game and people looked back and said, what's wrong with Oregon? And well, it turned out Idaho was pretty good. And so was Boise State, who ended up being a playoff team. But, you know, I know you left there, you don't take a moral victory, but did you leave there feeling like there was a sense of accomplishment in going toe-to-toe with the Ducks?
Yeah, you know what? It was mixed feelings. You know, again, I do think when you're building a program, especially you're playing a team, you know, I think they were, if not ranked number one, they were in the top five at that time. I think that helped us build confidence. But, you know, again, we did really accomplish nothing that helped us go towards our goals. And, yeah, that was the point I made to the team right after that game is they don't, you know, they don't give out championship rings. for playing a team like Oregon tough. We got to go earn it in the Big Sky. And I was proud of that year. We won 10 games at Idaho that year. That was the first time since 1993 that they had won 10 games. But we weren't, good enough to get, to get a conference championship that year. I think we tied for second, and then we ended up, getting to the quarterfinals that year in the playoffs. Couldn't get farther than that. But, I do think, even this year, like us going to Michigan this year, no moral victories, but I think it did build some confidence that we could compete and hang in there with them. That has helped us, later in the year. And yeah. I think as you build a program more and more, the value of that goes down. Now it's, after we beat UCLA this year and played Michigan tough, I think going forward in those games, there's not going to be any solace of playing somebody tough, because we know that, we aren't good enough to beat those teams on the road.
All right. Finally, you've got kids. We talked about the five kids, including the one you have on the team and working as a support staffer there. Does that help you, because you understand kids of that age and kind of where they're at and what's important to them? I mean, because I'm looking at a lot of coaches in a lot of programs, and I go, gosh, kids are changing. And I've got three daughters, and I'm kind of watching them going, wow, the world's a little complicated for these young people.
Well, I have an amazing wife. We kind of joke, and it's true. It's not even a joke. She's really the head coach at home. I'm the head coach at work. I think she talks about a lot. You're kind of living in chaos with five kids. When you have two kids, you can play kind of man to man. You can each take care of one of them, and you're good. When you're playing with five, it can be a little chaotic sometimes, but we love it. I do think, I think preparing me for a head coach, I think having a big family has helped. I think coaching the offensive line, where we had always one of the bigger position groups, usually I had, around 20, offensive linemen that were in my position group, and it was the largest one on the team. So it just kind of helped me deal with people. And then I think that helped me when I became a coordinator, and you're dealing with half the team. And now as a head coach, and you're dealing with the whole team. But I definitely think it's, you can't say, kids are changing or kids are different. I mean, I think you got to evolve as a coach, and you got to help build the behaviors you want out of those kids. I mean, that's what's coaching, having influence and showing leadership to help influence their behavior. Definitely, I think my family has been an asset. My wife has been a great partner to me. And, I even said in my press conference, and we had a lot of days where, we had, three or four kids, and we were making $50,000, and we're trying to make it work. And, she was asking whether we should, she could write a check for groceries or put it on the credit card. And you better put it on the credit card. I don't know if that check's going to be good. So I appreciate her sticking with me and helping me all those years to get where we are today.
All right, rapid fire now. I'm just going to pepper you here. You're in a two-minute drill, so to speak. But you go on a vacation. You go to the beach or the mountains?
Beach. Love the beach. We went to both times I've gotten the new job, I've taken my wife to Hawaii. So our first summer after we got the job, but Idaho, we went to the Big Island, and then last summer we went to Maui.
You're at the grocery store, and you got an option, paper or plastic. What are you doing?
I'm more plastic. It's kind of practical. My wife and I, we have a cat. That's our pet. She wants to get a dog. Okay. I think we might get a bulldog this off season. We've never had a dog, but those plastic bags are really good for the the litter box.
Butter or no butter on your movie theater popcorn?
Gotta go butter.
And we're watching a movie. Are we watching a comedy, drama, action movie? What are we doing?
Probably comedy and drama are my two favorite.
Okay. Favorite movie of all time?
I really like The Departed. Oh, great movie about the Irish mob in Boston. Yeah.
You and Dan Lanning both. Man, that's interesting. All right. You got a book on your nightstand, or no time for a book during the season?
I think I have a book on my nightstand right now, but I have not made a lot of progress on it during the season. I usually get more reading on the beach in Hawaii on that vacation. Yeah.
I'm going to guess you're an aisle, not a window guy on an airplane.
Definitely aisle. Yeah. Definitely my aisle. And my wife laughs. Like she'd prefer the aisle, and like have like my daughter. I have a 5-year-old daughter, and she demands that she wants the aisle. So puts my wife, or she wants the window, puts my wife in the middle.
I love it. All right. Jason Eck, thank you, man. Appreciate you doing this.
Hey, thanks so much, John. Appreciate it.
Really candid and informative stuff from Eck, a guy who I think is going to end up with a Power 4 job. If he's smart, he stays right where he is, right? He doesn't jump at just any job. It's got to be a no-brainer. Not that I'm his agent. But I think it's a no-brainer job, or you stay at New Mexico. You win the rest of this season. You win, you know, next season. He's bowl eligible already this year. Then you kind of look and wait. Like, the Wisconsin job is the one that I kind of look at for him, and I go, okay, does that open? There's Wisconsin staying with Luke Fickell for now. But a year from now, if Jason X got an 8 or 9 win season at New Mexico and Wisconsin struggling again, they decide to make a change. I mean, I think he's a candidate at that point. Punch and audio coming up. Jace Coburn, Portland State football coach, will be with us later in the show. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. Leave it here.